Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Aaron Boone, Craig and Evan, how you been, buddy?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing well. All right, let's a couple things right out of the gate. I heard the pregame interview you did with Sweeney last night, and I'm wondering, he was asking more about Glaber and, you know, kind of like the mental toughness and being aware of what's going on, that kind of stuff. And then I'm juxtaposing that with, Gary last night. And I just wonder, generally speaking, where are you with Gary and then Glaber as far as, you know, doing the right thing and making the basic plays that they got to make, especially considering how last night's game kind of came to an end?
Yeah, tough ending last night. Obviously, a couple plays that could have been handled. And, you know, I think part of it was conditions related. You know, it was pretty wet, sloppy night, so footing and, you know, a couple pitches not going, coming out of the hand as you necessarily expect them. But plays, you know, we got to have. I feel like Gary's in a good mental space and his work's been good. And, you know, oftentimes, obviously, he's kind of a lightning rod. And, you know, you have a play like the tag play in the Mets series and then last night ends. And unfortunately, that becomes the driving conversation of what's been,
right. You
know, some really good play over the last couple months. So try not to lose sight of that. Just make sure we're diving in and focused as much as we possibly can each and every pitch, which I believe's happened. As far as Glaber, we just got to get him going to where, you know, I think it got a little bit, you know, one of those weeks where you get into a little bit of a funk out there and you start playing not to make a mistake. And we got to get through that with him. Feel like we have at least a little bit the last couple of days. You know, he's had some important at bats. He's made a couple important plays, but we got to get there with him if we're going to be our best.
Did the plays last night lead to the decision not to start Sanchez tonight?
No, not because with the day game tomorrow, you know, they were going to split the next 2 days anyway, and then Cole going Sunday. So it would probably made sense to kind of every other day him right now.
In your opinion, should he have made both of those plays, the two wild pitches in the ninth inning?
Yeah, and looking back, the first one's tough because it's a slider that's on the other side of the plate that kind of slipped out. So, and he kind of did glove it and kind of squirted out. The second one, yeah, I felt like it's tough play, especially when you're expecting 96 sinker down in the zone and he kind of yanks it. So, but it's a ball you got to be in position to be able to glove. And I think he was a little late in reacting to it, a little late in getting to his move. And, you know, it cost us there.
The thing you did the night before, Craig and I were talking, oh, this was awesome. You went to Chapman for a third straight day, something we don't normally see. And that's not a normal thing. I think it was the first time in the regular season in 2 years. With that said, last night, was there any thought about a fourth straight day of Aroldis Chapman?
No. Yesterday we were going to definitely, early on, he was down. And it was, you know, 3 days in a row, 4 out of 5 on top of that. So yesterday we absolutely felt like it was down. The reality is, you know, the bullpen came up huge last night for us. With not having Greeny, not having Chappie available, the bullpen did their job. You know, Abreu came in, pitched really well in relief of Monty, who was outstanding. Rodriguez came in and got a huge out of Mullins to end an inning. And then Holmes was really good for 2 innings, gave up a single in 2 innings, essentially, and was, other than that, threw the ball very well. Unfortunately, a couple, you know, balls to the backstop that ends up costing us. And, you know, unfortunately, the biggest thing of the night, though, is we weren't able to add on.
Right.
You know, we get out to a 2-0 lead and – you got to be able to expand the lead, and we weren't able to do that. And unfortunately, that's been something that's happened too much to us, where we've maybe grabbed a lead or been in a game and haven't been able to add on typically in the middle innings.
No, I thought that's where you lost the game. You know, I think it was the second inning. You got two men on, one out.
Yep.
You get the one run in to make it 2-0, and I thought right then and there a big hit makes it 4-0, and then away we go. And it felt like after that inning, the offense just wasn't clicking. I was like, here we go, we're going to be in for a long night. But it seemed like that second inning was where it went south, for me at least.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, and I really thought actually in the first 3, 4, 5 innings, I thought, especially against their starter, we were having a lot of good at-bats, and guys were lining out a lot. You know, when Gallo hit the ball to the fence, it's probably a homer any other time of the night, but the kind of the weather had kind of picked up then, and the wind started blowing in. So, but then, you know, from there on, you know, fifth on, you know, they kind of had their way with us. And you know, that's something that's happened to us too much, and that's part of the reason we've had to lean on the bullpen, you know, especially our high-leverage guys as much as we have, is usually the offense, and especially our offense, usually can take care of that because we're able to gain separation, you know, a couple times a week, or put teams away a couple times a week, and we haven't been able to do that quite enough.
What made, because at least for us as fans watching you guys every day, it felt like it came out of nowhere. Maybe you were talking about it for a while, but what made it clear to you that it was time to make that move with Gleyber Torres and move him back to second base?
I just thought it became because you know, time is of the essence. You know, obviously we're at the end here. I felt like there were a couple plays that, you know, wasn't just, you know, necessarily just making a physical error, what's going to happen, or you get, I felt like it was a weight. I felt like it was weighing on him, and I felt like he was out there a little bit, you know, maybe not to make a mistake. And I just felt like, you know, to try and alleviate a little bit of pressure while trying to also get him going a little bit, I felt like it was the right thing to do.
Did you ever feel that way? Now, obviously, the calendar makes a big impact. You're right. You only got a few weeks left, so you got to try. But did you ever feel like that was a problem for Gleyber before, that he was playing that way?
You know, we've talked about it a little bit in the months prior, but, you know, I think the one thing, and it's part of playing here in New York, is and when there's questions all the time about it, sometimes a play that, you know, he would make a mistake on has legs here. It lasts for 20, 30 days just in the conversation. It's hard to put it to bed because if there's been large stretches this year where he's been really steady out there and really consistent, and usually he does get over those games where maybe he has a little bit of a, you know, his confidence takes a hit or something and affects him for a game or two, but he's usually always been able to kind of work through there. With the calendar being what it was, I just felt like I needed to take that pressure off at this time.
So just to say it, because we had this come up earlier this week with someone else on the show, Louis Rojas, you do manage differently with 15 games to go than you manage, let's say, in the middle of May, correct?
I mean, I think there's some, I mean, depends obviously where you are in the standings, what, you know, all those things. So, yeah, I think it changes a little bit, you know.
Well, Chapman, isn't Chapman a great example of it? Pitching him a third straight day. We've never seen it in years.
Right.
So, yeah.
All right, let me get to a couple guys, see if there's help on the way, if the wounded are coming back to help the Yankees out in the last 15. Do you have an update on any of these three guys? Severino, Domingo Herman, and Loaisiga. Any shot we see any of them in the last 2.5 weeks?
Yeah, so Herman will throw one more rehab game tomorrow. And then, you know, if all goes well there, he should be with us early in the week. So sometime this homestand.
Okay.
Severino threw 2 live innings today on the field against hitters. Actually looked really good. So we'll see how he comes out of that and you know, if he gets in a game, so he could be on the horizon as well. Jonathan Loaisiga started his throwing program today, so he went out and played catch for the first time since being shut down. So hopefully now that starts him.
How long is his clock, Loaisiga? So now that he starts throwing, how long do you think that should take?
You know, if everything goes well, hopefully, you know, a couple weeks, kind of hopefully get him back maybe – you know, that last homestand or something.
Or do you still have confidence to go to Chad Green in a very close game tonight?
Yes. Yes.
Do you think that his confidence has taken any kind of hit over the last few weeks, or does he seem like the same?
I don't. Chad's as steady as, you know, he's as consistent a person. You never know, you know, if he's hit a little rough patch or had a tough game or, you know, came in and dominated for two innings. He's, you know, that's just kind of the pro he's been, and it kind of reflects in his career of how good he's been and how consistent he's been. So, I think the biggest thing is just being a little bit probably more disciplined even at this time of the year with Greeny, to where I'm trying to, you know, you talk about the urgency of this time of the year. I think it's important to balance making sure he gets that rest when it's possible here in these final 2 weeks.
Talking to Aaron Boone as we do every week, the Aaron Boone Report. Aaron, listen, I know you can only play the team that you're scheduled to play, but you're also well aware you got two huge series coming up with Toronto and with the Boston Red Sox. You're the three teams that are going for the two wild card spots. How do you temper the guys being aware that those two series are coming up with the game tonight, the game tomorrow afternoon?
Oh, that's honestly, that's easy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're in a dogfight, and we've shown it hasn't mattered who we're playing, you know, whether it's one of the best teams in the league, whether it's a team that's really struggling. If we don't play well, we're going to get beat, and if we're at our best, we know we can beat anyone. So we understand, and we understand where we are, you know, in the standings as far as being so bundled up with a few teams. So we understand the importance of each and every day and how important it is to first and have a good homestand here to put us in a position to do something special when we go on the road.
Like, I always wonder this. You know, before you guys were on that 13-game winning streak, when you look at the team now and talk to the team and kind of get a pulse of where they're at, not that you can predict that type of success because it's somewhat historical, but is there anything that you see where you feel kind of on the side, confident, talking to the other coaches, hey, we're about to go on a run?
I've felt that way a few times this year, honestly. You know, the one thing I will say for our group and our players is, even in the lowest of valleys, I do believe there's an underlying confidence that they feel like they can be the best team in the league. You know, sometimes there's been valleys that we've been in where it maybe hasn't been justified or warranted, but I do believe it's real. I do believe that these guys feel like if we're playing at our best, we know we can beat anybody, and we just got to find that consistency that's, you know, unfortunately, you know, eluded us too much to this point. But we certainly understand that we have a chance to still do something great, and we're in control of that.
What's incredible is that you have now had 8 games in which you've led in the final inning and lost. And it's just, it almost seems like when you have it, and tell me if I'm wrong, that maybe it's easier to bounce back from it because you've had it all season long. You've had these gut punches, as you've called it, from the beginning to now. Does that help overcome a loss like yesterday that you've had so many of these?
I think that's part of it. I also think that it is in our culture, and it's the nature of this sport, is that, you know, it's obviously, you know, every day. To be really good at this game, you know, I think it's something you got to have as an athlete in sports, is you've got to be able to get over failure. You've got to be able to work through adversity, or you're not going to be any good. And one thing I've felt like with the two things that have really stood out to me about our club this year, and again, is that I do believe that there's a genuine underlying confidence that this group has in themselves and each other, and they do have the ability to bounce back. I mean, and that's something we talk about from the first days in spring training, how important the next play is, or whatever adversity or successes we have, you know, we need to have the ability to always turn the page. And you know, for better or for worse this year and the ups and downs, I do feel like those two things really exist with us.
I've noticed a lot less whistling from your dugout. Did you tell Wandy Peralta to cut this crap out?
No, Wandy's typically not in there. He was down that night and came in, and Wandy's kind of a beloved teammate. I know you're a Met guy, but this is really all to do about nothing. This is this is a nothing story. And I think if you ask them honestly, they know it. It was him acting a fool for an inning and a half while he was down
there. But Aaron, by the way, like, and I don't know, you tell me if I'm wrong, just as a baseball fan, if Taijuan Walker's tipping his pitches, that's on him. Like, even as a Met fan,
correct.
If you guys are whistling to each other to give signals, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. He's the guy who's messing up by tipping his pitches. So was that at least happening that night?
No.
That wasn't even okay.
And neither was the whistling. Like, if you're sitting there looking at it honestly, like, he was, like, kind of screaming and yelling like a little kid, like just kind of getting us riled up and getting our bench going a little bit and just, you know, acting a fool a little bit, frankly. It was just all to do about nothing, and I think everyone realizes that that's dug into this.
I will say this. I would take Stanton over Lindor in a scrap. I'll give you that much. I would take Stanton over probably just about any guy not named Aaron Judge, I think.
Did you think for a second as that was happening there was going to be a fight? Like, did you think as there was so much jarring, like, oh, my God, this could get really ugly?
You never know. I mean, I was hoping not, but, you know.
Stranger things have happened.
Our guys look pretty good getting off the bus usually, so it usually squashes some things. When,
like I said, I give those guys credit that they didn't shy away from it, but they knew there wasn't going to be a fight because if there's the threat of a fight, Lindor and Baez are not going after Stanton. He just that not the dude to go after. I don't know. Yeah. Before I let you go, I know you guys will be on your way to Boston, so you can't make the comedy show, but Evan is going to do 60 seconds of time, as they call it, on stage. Now,
really?
He spends every week, as we all do, you know, being critical of your performance as the manager. So I just want to give you the opportunity to kind of pre-handicap your expectation of Evan's stand-up routine.
Wow, well, I definitely want to get the, the excerpts or the tape.
I will get that for you, don't worry.
I definitely would like to see that.
You have my word.
You should be able to hold your own if you're willing to do it for 60 seconds. Yeah. You should be able to.
Thank you, Aaron. You
know, wow. All right, so I'll tell you what. I'm going to film it, and I will text it to you.
That's fair.
And then I'm a big comedy guy. I watch a ton of stand-up.
The bar is high there.
Almost on a nightly basis.
All right. I will text it to you. And then next week, I would appreciate, at the end of whatever we talk about baseball-wise, an honest review of Evan's performance.
No, that's completely fair. And be brutally honest. If you thought I sucked, you say it. I have no issue with that. Totally fine.
Right. Hey, good luck tonight against Cleveland. Appreciate your time. The Aaron Boone Report's brought... Oh, I know. I had one last question. I apologize. I noticed you went from the blue sweatshirt to the white short-sleeve hoodie. Is that... What's up with that?
Oh, no, that, I don't wear that white sleeve hoodie very much. Just,
I know, I noticed it.
Yeah. No, that's not really, that's not one you can wear on the field or in the dugout or anything.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
Got it. All right, just want to make sure I did notice it, and I was like, what happened? So
you're on it.
All right, listen, good luck tonight, and we'll talk to you next week. Thanks, as always.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, Aaron Boone Report brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the Yankees. You know, it is amazing how you wouldn't think of it because it's not in our wheelhouse. All the rules that do exist about what you're allowed to wear and not wear.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you wouldn't even, like, why would I ever, like, I noticed he wore the white short sleeve hoodie, I guess, post-game press conference. He normally wears the blue one, the navy blue. And I was like, maybe it's a superstitious thing. I don't know what it was. Can't wear it. Can't wear it in the dugout.
It's something that very difficult for us to understand because we have zero restrictions on what we can wear.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Right? Zero. I mean,
zero.
When he says zero.
Zero.
He means zero.
Hey, I'm going to a Met game tonight. I want to be comfortable. That's my number one
goal. It's
going to
be a little chilly tonight, maybe.
Yeah, I'm prepared. I'm prepared, man.
So he watches a lot of comedy, and he's going to be critical of your performance, as he should be, because
of course
we do it to them every
Absolutely.
Week.
Bring it on, baby.
Yeah? You don't want to test drive the material, huh?
No. All right. You're on the right track, though.
I'm on the right track.
You said something earlier. You're on the right track.
Oh, because you told me what the content was.
So then you already know.
But I didn't hear the jokes.
Well, we'll see.
Don't do me a favor.
What?
It is an old joke that I've used before on the air years and years ago, and I'm sure I'm not the only one that's ever done it.
What?
If the act is about making love to your beautiful wife, I don't go on and go, And to help me last longer, I rattle off the Met lineup.
What do you mean that's an old line?
That is an old, like, that's not yours.
That's my material.
No, it's not.
Of course it is. See, I told that to you on the air. First of all, it wasn't an old Met lineup.
It's been done years ago.
By whom?
I've done it on the show.
You've done what?
I've told that story years ago.
You did it to me because it's you called up Jim Leeritz and said, Evan thinks of you when he has sex with his wife.
I mean, it's in my book. Like, so if your act is, hey, you know, when I'm with my
wife. It's a variation.
I go, oh, Tim Tuffle. Oh.
It's not the same.
Wally Backman. Keith Hernandez.
Not the same.
Gary Carter. Daryl Strawberry.
Not the same.
All right. Good.
Similar, though.
All right.
I can't lie to you.
I mean, it'll probably get a laugh, then. But it's not new material.
Well, first of all, am I walking around bragging like I'm some cutting-edge comic that came up with there's a few jokes I came up with on my own.
Okay, that's
good.
But
I'm sure that, well, I've heard something similar before.
No, similar's fine. But yeah, you can't lift someone else's material.
Well, first of all, it's my material.
No, but that's my point. That joke is not yours.
It's a variation.
All
right. So it's similar. I'm not going to lie to you. But it's... I can't get into the details because then I give it away, but I would say it's not exactly the same.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's definitely on the same road.
All right. So it involves baseball and lovemaking.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
I didn't say that.
Well, I said it.
It involves lovemaking. Hey, I got you to laugh.
I'm there to help you. I'm there for you.
Are you?
Yes.
You're not there for me. Treat me like Joe Judge. You say, I want you to do well. But deep down, you want bombing. You want Aaron Boone the next day to say, Evan, you suck.
I do want that.
Yes.
You're right.
Okay.
But I don't want you to suck. I just want Aaron Boone to tell you suck.
And that's okay.
I want Aaron Boone to question your decisions the way you question his.
But
I want Luis Rojas to come. I want Luis Rojas to be like, Evan, why'd you go with that joke second?
That's fine.
That joke works fourth. It doesn't work second.
But here's what's okay. I am ready for that. If I am terrible, you don't think I'd come in the next day and say, got to admit, Craig, it was bad. It went wrong. I don't know where it went wrong.
I think you will. I think you will.
Oh, it will go wrong? Is that what you're saying?
It's like, did Joe Judge admit that he was terrible last night? He kind of did. A little bit. Like, one of the quotes was, I'm not going to try to promise you rainbows and butterflies. The reality is we're going to go back to work to be the team we need to be. Still some coach speak in there, but he wasn't like giving you full on, you know, my poop don't stink.
Right.
He was acknowledging his poop stinks, right?
Halfway.
Right. You're all or nothing. Either it's going to be great. I'm proud of you just for doing it.
Exactly.
That's
how I feel.
People don't understand, like, you host a radio show, it doesn't mean anything when it comes to doing stand-up.
Right.
When you're standing in front of 400 people, I think that's the capacity of the club, and you can see them. Like, when you're on a stage and there's 10,000 people in an arena, you can't see the crowd. They're faceless because the way the lights are. You just take my word for it. At Gotham, you'll see everybody because I've done it.
Yeah.
Getting up on stage with the responsibility of making people laugh is a completely different animal, which is why I've got so much respect for people who do it.
Absolutely. That's why
you've never tried it.
That's why I'm also not afraid to fail. Because if I fail, if I embarrass myself, if it's god awful for one terrible minute, I'll know deep down that I made you proud.
Yes.
Because I went up there
and
gave it a try.
Not everybody would have the balls to do it.
Most people wouldn't.
Yeah.
So I'm proud of myself.
Yes. Well, you haven't done it yet. Like, you could come down with some kind of stomach virus next Thursday and be like,
no,
I can't do it, Craig.
I can promise you this. I will go on that stage.
I know you will.
And I will leave it all out there, baby.
And I'm going to videotape it.
That's fine.
Yes. You really normally can't videotape stand-up, but...
Well, I give you permission that you can videotape me.
Thank you. I may even announce who the comics are next week. Now, it doesn't matter at this point because it's sold out, but they're awesome. So hopefully those of you that are coming, we'll see you next Thursday at Gotham, and it'll be a great night. And I should mention, you know, the reason we're doing it is because former hockey player Tommy Laidlaw introduced me to this wonderful charity group called Warriors for Life Fund. And they basically do right by soldiers who come back from overseas who've done and seen things that we could never imagine and have a tough time when they come back, whether that's PTSD, physical ailments, mental ailments, mental health ailments. And it's a way to raise money for this great group that supports those men and women. And that's really the impetus behind all this. So
we
looking forward to
can
it.
Can never do enough for the men and women that serve our country. And sometimes it feels like our country forgets a little bit too much, and we should never forget. Because those men and women give up so much for us. So to me, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, that's why we're doing it. And I want to stress again, every single dollar from every ticket sold goes to that fund. The Comedy Club ain't taking any. Obviously, we're not involved with the money. Every penny from every ticket sold goes to that fund. So it'll be a great night. Those of you that do have tickets, we can't wait to see you. The whole crew's going, too. Big Mac, Tommy, CeeLo, Spike's coming. Some people in sales are going to wait outside. We'll tell them how the show was.
You're right. They're going to stand outside hoping to get in.
I think Boomer's coming.
Nice.
Moose and Maggie are coming. So it's going to be a nice night.
I have a Boomer joke, actually.
Oh, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. I got to let Boomer know that he's in your act.
Got
I'll
it.
Tell him that.
It's not. I mean, maybe it would offend him. I don't know.
Oh, boy. All right, listen. We got CeeLo's update in a second. We'll get back to your phone calls. 877-337-6666.
You know who I think is funny is that Craig Clark.
Maybe Jerry Seinfeld will show up like he did the last time
I did a
comedy.
Why don't you do
a
few minutes of stand-up?
I'm sure I will at some point.
Oh, you are? Okay.
I don't know. At some point, I'm sure.
You've done it before, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you're like an experienced comic.
No, I would not say that at all.
Have you ever bombed when you went on stage in a limited amount of stuff that you've done?
But I've never went up there with... No, you don't... I didn't bomb. I did. I hosted. They used to have Live from Gotham on Access TV.
Right.
And they asked me to be the host. And the host's job was the opening, I don't want to exaggerate, let's say 10 minutes, ballpark, could be a little more. The opening 10 minutes, the host of the show had to do time. So I did it. Was it the greatest thing ever? No.
But you didn't bomb.
But I didn't bomb.
Right.
I didn't bomb like Tyrone bombed. I've told you that story.
Yes, you've told me the Tyrone bombing
story.
Oh,
shoot.
Yes.
There's Ralph Macchio. I told my friends if I ever saw Ralph Macchio, I would tell him to his face, you don't even know karate. Oh, boy.
See, that's how you can get me to bomb. If Luis Rojas was in the first row, I take my minute to just criticize whatever movie did the night before.
People might laugh at that.
Yeah. You know what? You're right.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan. WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
They can't play him anymore, dude. Sitting 207 and he can't block anything.
I'm going to defend him yet last night. And I know the C-Mac and I talked about this a little bit, okay? The guy's a sinker ball pitcher, yes? Clay Holmes?
Yeah.
Okay. He's yanking balls into the lefty batter's box. It's raining. He's throwing 96. It's a mess.
Even the manager said
he's
got to make those balls.
Well, the manager, Aaron said the second one.
He brought that stuff up. No, no, the second one was far worse than the first one, in my opinion. But you can't trust him. Look, there's a clip.
I don't disagree with that. I'm going to give you I have knocked him for years now.
I'm going to give you an example. I put this clip out there. Not mine. I just was watching the Met-Yankee game Sunday night. I happened not to go to the game. And there's a clip of Javier Baez, it was clear as day on TV, telling the batter, I think it was Kevin Pillar, he doesn't want to block the ball in the dirt. Expect to pitch
out.
Yeah,
that was the last week.
And I put
it
out there. Tons of people watched it because it was fascinating. Like, here is a guy on the base paths saying he doesn't want to block.
Yeah. All I'm saying is
he's tough to play right now. And I've been a Gary defender for a long time. He's hitting 207. He's tough to play right now.
I agree, but that was a tough spot. And if you watched Holmes in the entire inning, he was all over the place.
I agree with that.
All over the place.
Damn Avett brothers ruining everything for the Yankees. Well, they still control their own destiny, right?
Sure.
Play Cleveland next week. You got the two big series that are actual playoff games, right? You
got to win those games.
Yeah. I mean, there's no excuse then. Hopefully they'll beat the Cleveland Indians. I'm sure they're big favorites to do so. And then when you play the six games you got against Toronto and Boston, that's your season. Those are playoff games. That's it. So stop, you know.
If the New York Yankees don't make the playoffs, yeah, we can look at those games, no doubt. We're going to look at what they didn't do to the Orioles.
100% right. All right, CeeLo's got an update. A lot of it's going to be, I think, John Sterling. Let's see.
All right, powered by Superbook, now open with better odds and favorable prices. Also sponsored by Bruni and Campisi Home Comfort and Efficiency Company, serving Westchester, Fairfield, Rockland, and Putnam counties. Let me quickly throw this out there. Giants-wise, you've done a lot of Giants. Lawrence Tynes, of course, the former Giant kicker. He put this out on Twitter a short time ago, not that we didn't know it, but just from the team side, just confirmed with the Giants source, Dexter Lawrence was not offsides from the coach's film. Referees missed it, and the Giants will get the obligatory phone call from the head of officials saying, sorry, we missed it.
All right.
So there
you go. I mean, all well and good, but as Carl Banks said, the Giants went out of their way to give them a chance to win the game.
Yes, they did.
All right. And so to take Dexter Lawrence off your GOAT list for those people that were blaming him last night. Again, it doesn't matter, the Giants, you know, gave them a chance to kick the field goal to win the game anyway. So, there you go.
All right, well, all that was happening. We're actually earlier
on. How about
on
the fact
Giant
the Giants game. Let them have a two-play, 75-yard possession that ended in a touchdown? Like, it's not like you weren't playing against Joe Montana.
Or no. How about the conservative nature they went into after the interception by Bradbury?
So it's enough.
Has Kenny Golladay met the media yet?
I'm glad they absolved Dexter Lawrence, but it doesn't matter. The team's guilty.
I want to make this clear. So Kenny Golladay has still not met the media?
Not that I'm aware of.
The biggest mistake he's made is not yelling at Daniel Jones, is the fact he has now left the quarterback out there for almost 24 hours. Say something.
Yep. All right. What do you got, CeeLo?
All right, so while all that was happening, the Yankees were blowing the game at Camden Yards. And as I mentioned earlier in the show, I happened to be driving home listening to John on the radio. So this will take you from the moment Holmes throws the second wild pitch and they tie the game in the bottom of the ninth all the way through the game-winning hit in the bottom of the tenth.
Ooh.
So one inning, and there's a lot that went on in between.
All right.
And John,
did you set it to music or no?
No, it's just right. John. It's just John. No Sweeney, no music, unedited. As far as, like, I didn't cut out things in between what
you said.
Do you
still have this stuff I asked about Melusis with saying right all the time?
It's interesting you bring that up. I'm going to get to something related to that after we
do
the John thing.
Awesome.
This is chronological. Here you go.
The pitch way high and a wild pitch, but it goes to the screen and scoring is Stewart. So they got that close. They got to 3-2. They got to one strike away. That's the Yankee season. They got within one strike. Couldn't close the deal. Not good enough. That's not good enough. The Yankees gave up the tying run on a wild pitch. Hey, we go to extra innings. Wow. Isn't that something? The Yankees were one strike away. It was a 2-2 pitch. They were one strike away with a runner at third. And you know what? Holmes threw another wild pitch. Isn't that something, though? They were so close. They're one strike away. And couldn't close the deal. Valleca's out of the lineup.
I love this.
Valleca went to left.
They didn't tell me that. It's great doing the games this way, by the way. Yankees got close. They did everything right. By the book, they got they didn't score any runs. That was a big thing. They got to two strikes in the ninth inning. A wild pitch tied the game. Well, Seltzer is taking a lot of time in a big spot. It'll be a 1-2. It just takes a while. Eventually, there'll be a pitch. If you're wondering about Seltzer, Cole Seltzer, he's just hanging around. He's not ready to pitch. Now he is. It takes a while. Yankees were one strike away from ending the game. One strike. And Holmes threw a wild pitch to allow the runner from third to score. Isn't that something? Got close. They got within one strike and scored on a wild pitch with two strikes on the batter. The Yankees, as I say, were one strike away from the win. They had to get this win.
Boy,
this
is,
if the Yankees lose this game, boy, what a tough loss. Two strikes on the batter and a wild pitch. Yikes. Well, the Yanks have done it again. Another four-hour game. The pitch is grounded into left field for a base hit. Ball game over. Orioles
here
win.
It comes.
So the Orioles win it in 10, 3-2, in one of the most disappointing Yankee losses of all time. They were one strike away before a wild pitch scored the tying run. And the Orioles win it in 10 by the score of 3-2.
You think he was focused on that wild pitch? Did that bother him a little bit?
One of the most disappointing Yankee losses of all time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, listen, that's why you got to listen every night.
One inning. That's one full inning.
He's going to be happy to have Susan back.
Wait, so you're blaming Sweeney Burger. So you're blaming John's anger, or at least part of it, on the fact that Sweeney was there instead of Susan?
I'm not blaming Sweeney. I don't want that to be misinterpreted. Sweeney was asked to fill in for Susan, and I thought did an admirable job. I think Sweeney's very good at what he does.
So you think if Susan's there, she has more of a calming influence on John?
I don't know. I think John was pissed anyway. He's doubly pissed because he's not at the game, which is, you know, his right to be. And we don't disagree with that. Now you had Susan's not there. He clearly doesn't like Sweeney or maybe anyone else to sit there other than his cumpanara, Susan, right? And he's pissed off. Yeah. That was his fandom coming out there a bit, too.
That was amazing.
The guy's 80 years old. Good for him.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah.
But
we were unaware that that took place, John. Remind us, please.
But don't you think in a lot of ways...
strike away.
He's representing a lot of Yankee
yes,
fans.
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. That's yes. What made it so brilliant. Like, it's not just some guy who's just angry he has to broadcast the game. He's more upset... One strike away. Wild pitch. Like he's representing Nick Turturro. He's representing Big Mac. He's sort of representing you, but not really.
You hear a boomer called John this morning?
What's up?
Whiny biatch.
Yeah, give it up.
Two quick notes on the Mets. Your boy Nimmo's back tonight. He'll bat second in between VR and Lindor. And I bring this up as I want to make sure we cover both sides. We've ripped Javi Baez quite a bit here. To be fair, we want to bring the other side of it. He brought a group of children from Puerto Rico that have been dealing with cancer to Wednesday's game, spent time with them out on the field, signed autographs, hung out with them.
Did a great job.
Yes.
Well, that's tremendous.
So we bring recognition
tremendous.
And awareness
Absolutely.
To that.
Well
Very
deserved.
Good. All right, now, you asked me about the Melusis thing and the right, him, the fact that he's got this crutch now.
He's got a verbal crutch.
Right. Right?
Yes.
Right. All right, so in lieu of that... Yes, you did ask me to go and pull some audio for Moose.
I did.
I didn't do that.
I didn't think you did.
But what I do bring to you,
yes,
as sort of a peace offering,
fair enough,
is Rich Cimini with Zach Wilson yesterday on the jet pass protection.
When a team gives up six sacks, usually the offensive line gets most of the blame. So you're saying that looking over the film that there are things that you could do as well, like just from learning through experience, like what? Just be quicker on your reads, see things pre-snap? Like, what can you do?
Yeah, of course. And that's what's so cool, right, about football. It's such a team game, right?
There you go. Two from Zach Wilson in a span of 4 seconds. So it's not just
that's
Moose.
That's no peace offering.
Not just
that's
Moose.
That's what you came up with?
That's not
weak.
Just Moose. Zach Wilson, I'm listening yesterday. I'm listening yesterday to Zach Wilson. I'm like, he's listening to Melusis.
No,
he's got
not.
The right thing
Zach
now
Wilson's
going.
A rookie quarterback that's played one game in the NFL. And by the way, how great was that answer? You gotta love the accountability.
He says everything right.
Of Zach Wilson.
Yes. Yeah. And he went on to say other great things.
I don't accept your peace offering.
Right,
sorry.
Fine. That's fine. Well, it did stand out to me. And I don't think I would have noticed it had you not asked me the thing about Moose.
Do you notice it with Moose now?
Of course I do.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course I do. Just like what I told Evan, he says go out there a lot. And now when you listen to Moose.
Who says go out there
Moose.
A lot?
Oh, go really?
Yeah. You told me that?
Go I out forgot. There. Years ago.
Did
yeah.
you?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. So the Jets are getting ready to play the Patriots on Sunday in the home opener. CJ Mosley, who of course sat out all of last year and barely played in 2019, pumped to
but
be back.
But when he did right. play in 2019, it was the most marvelous half of football
yes.
we've ever seen.
Tremendous. So he's excited to be back playing in MetLife.
I would assume, if not me, everybody's going to have chills hearing that because I just know it's going to be rocking, especially having all the fans back.
And he's referring there to the JETS.
I think
channel,
I think the stadium's going to be great. Obviously, it's first Jet game now, and how long for fans? You're playing the Patriots. Yeah, it's early in the season. Hopefully, the weather's good.
The other thing is, and this is what I think is so special: for the first time in years, there's optimism. When Adam Gase was here, even at the end of Todd Bowles. There was no optimism. We're Jet fans. We're diehard. We're hopeful. But it's the first time, even though this team's not going to win a lot of games, where most of us, if not all of us, feel this sense of we may be finally going to a better place.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Carton and Roberts on the Fan, WFAN, WFAN-FM, and WFAN.com.
Yankees get ready for the Cleveland Indians at the stadium. And then, of course, next week's the big Yankee week as we get ready for Toronto and the Boston Red Sox. Peace out to SNY. See you guys on Monday. CeeLo has the rest of his update. Go ahead.
All right, so I played you the Zach Wilson clip and CJ Mosley. On the other side of this, of course, you've got Bill Belichick. You think he's going to be all pumped up to face
you
the Jets
this week,
right?
You don't want to be 0-2 either, by the way, but we'll see how it goes.
So I don't know why he would do this, but Ben Volen, who has covered the Patriots for quite some time, decided today to ask Belichick as part of his Friday press conference about the value of the long snapper on the roster. And dedicating a spot to a guy who only long snaps. And the value of that versus somebody who could do two different roles. Why he would ask this, I don't know. How do you think Belichick, on a Friday morning, as he's getting ready to face a division rival, handled that
question? Did he go with the Casey Stengel approach? Well, we didn't have a long snapper. We couldn't snap long. Like he did with the catcher. Why'd you draft the catcher?
He did not make a joke.
There'd be a lot of pass balls. That was Casey's line.
No. What he did was answer that question for 9 full minutes. 1,500 words, name-dropped the likes of Tom Tupa, Steve Diassi,
oh my God,
Lou Groza.
The toe!
Lou Groza. Gino
That's
Capoletti.
What his nickname was.
He went on and on.
You think it was a setup?
Maybe. Might have been. Hey, Ben, listen. Been around a long time. I don't really want to answer anything. Just set me up with the long snapper question. And
let me go. He might have a relationship with the guy who's been covering the team
possible.
For a long time.
I think that's definitely what happened.
Listen, when I was in Cleveland, I told you this. He was off season, and Bill Belichick had a press conference, I guess going into camp or whatever, and they said, what's your new offense going to be? He'd benched Bernie Kosar. Todd Philcox is the starting quarterback now. And at the press conference, he says, well, for all questions about our offense, I would ask you to turn to Craig Carton, because he'll be making all offensive decisions this year. So
did you answer every question?
I wasn't even at the press conference.
That's even better.
Yeah,
even
so better. He likes to have, as you know, he messes with the media a bunch. Yeah.
I caught him at the end of the press conference. I flipped it on. They were live streaming it. And someone asked about, well, what do you see? You know, Robert Saleh's, his defense now that he's with the Jets. Same thing. Went on and on. Well, right. Seattle, the Canadian lawn. And then he gets to the end. And with that, you know what, eating grin, he goes, sorry, I kind of went off on a tangent there. And I still didn't really answer the question. So. He is a veteran. He knows
that.
So he
was in a jovial mood, is what you're trying to say.
Sort of, yeah, because he was just basically filibuster and run out the clock on the press conference.
There's a lot of people think that he's staying in New England until he feels like his son is ready to be the head coach. I think he coaches the cornerback,
Steve Belichick.
Yeah, he's a defensive coach there.
Yes.
And is pretty well thought of, actually.
But is Robert Kraft going to sign off on that?
Well, I'd probably pick through Robert Kraft's kids, because by then he'll have they'll own the team. But yeah, why not, right? Like, would you take a great son? Because that's what, like, Norv Turner's son was coaching last night.
Oh, no, right? Listen, there's a long list of
sons. I mean, you'll be great, but
Kyle,
I mean,
Shanahan.
You got a pretty good
Sean McVay. Like, I mean, it's a long list.
You grew up.
But no, coaching. I'm not questioning if he can coach. I guess I'm questioning if the Patriots are on the same page as Bill.
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, Bill's got a plan. Yeah, I want my son to be the next head coach. Great, but the Krafts have to agree with that. That's all I'm saying.
I would feel bad for his son in this regard. There'll be so many people that might not like his dad, that'd be tough being, you know, his dad's son.
Well, and also, you're his dad's son in the place where your dad had great success.
Good luck filling
those
shoes.
It's not like you're going somewhere else where, God forbid, you win a Super Bowl, you're a king. If you win a Super Bowl in New England, they say, okay, where's another? And another.
Right.
Always be compared to dad, too. All right, so we go from Belichick's boringness to, I'm going to play a short clip here. I'm going to ask you to ID this voice. And also to try and figure out the context, okay?
Go.
You ready?
I like pain. I just like to hear it. Just put it in me.
I got it.
It's got to be Jerry Jones.
That's Jerry Jones.
And he likes
pain. And he likes S&M.
I like pain. I just like to hear it. Just put it in me.
He probably went to the same dominatrix that Robert Kraft went to and just acknowledged that he's not going to change who he is.
I like pain.
Oh, just put it in me.
God. All right.
Yeah.
Earlier today, he was he's on 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, does a weekly spot with them. And initially, I don't know why, but so they asked him, when was the last time you Googled yourself? And he explained that he actually likes to know what people are saying about him.
I used to have people ask me, why in the world do you listen to radio, talk radio? Because they're wearing your proverbial butt out. And I like pain. I just like to hear it. Just put it in me.
You know what's funny about that? Here's one of the most recognized owners in all sports. And not only is he not afraid of the media, he embraces the media.
Yeah.
And he does a weekly talk show, right? Yeah. That don't happen here.
Yeah, but if Jerry Jones was here, and this is, I don't have an answer to this, but if he was here owning one of our teams with the same success and failures that the Dallas Cowboys have had, what would we think of him?
I love the guy.
No. Your team. He is the owner of the team you root for, not from afar, because with all due respect,
I'm sure we'd be critical of him. I know we would.
Well, we'd be.
I
think I'd lean towards despising him. Like, look, you've already taken shots at Steve Cohen. He's been here for a year, and they haven't won anything.
That's what I was going to say. Now, compare the two.
Well, now imagine Steve Cohen's been here for many, many, many years.
Yeah.
Many, many years. And they've won nothing for many, many years.
Steve Cohen doesn't embrace the media.
He's
Steve
on Twitter.
Steve Cohen tweets.
Yeah.
When
it's
you
a
tweet,
different form of...
You don't have to answer anybody.
Yeah, but it's a different form of embracing, connecting with your fans.
That's different. Like...
Yeah, in some ways it's better.
Pardon me for eating a combo. I was hungry. But here's the deal. Steve Cohen has done, I think, two interviews. One with, I think, Steve Gelbs on SNY. I think one other one that maybe him again. I forget who it was. And, you know, every now and then, I guess... He's given some comments to reporters. Steve Cohen has not done an interview on TV or radio.
Craig, but with all due respect, you're a little biased, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because you're looking at it, I think you are, and you could say, no, you're wrong, but I think you're looking at it as a talk show host, as a guy who wants the traditional media interview. To a lot of fans, they look at it as, I interact with Steve Cohen. I can tweet him, and sometimes he responds. So I think he is interactive with fans. Look, if Steve Cohen's here for 20 years, Craig, and then outwinning,
he'll hear.
He's going to turn off a lot of fans. So that's why when I bring up Jerry Jones, it's easy for us from afar to chuckle and laugh. We're not Cowboy fans. They've won nothing. If that was happening in this town with a team that's won nothing, I think we'd say, I'm sick of this act. Go win something. Don't you think?
I mean, you got to compare him to Steinbrenner. You only got to really fairly compare him to.
They won.
Eventually.
Yeah. And when they didn't win, George was hated.
Right.
But when they won, George was beloved. Jerry Jones has won nothing in how many years now?
Let me ask you a question. If the Knicks or Rangers win, will people love James Dolan?
His rep would turn, yeah.
You think so?
I love is strong, but I think his, yes, people would talk better about him.
Okay. What else you got?
You just mentioned the Knicks and the Rangers, which is the perfect segue. So I'm going to just read. This is from Kirsten Fleming. I don't know what outlet she's from.
She's with the New York Post.
Is she? Okay. I'm going to read this just verbatim. Ready? Madison Square Garden is abuzz. The home of the Knicks and the Rangers just added another quick, high-flying squad to their roster. The building is now housing two beehives on the sixth-floor rooftop, and the action will be visible to fans from the official team store windows on that same level. Each hive has a queen bee and approximately 40,000 worker bees between them. From MSG general manager Clinton Neils, he tells the Post, quote, "It's the world's most famous arena, and now we will be the world's most famous beehive."
So did they discover the beehives and figured we're going to leave them alone and have them make honey for us?
No.
Or did they actually bring them in specifically because of the attraction that they think it might be for fans?
They are bringing them in with a company installs and maintains hives in urban areas.
That's awesome.
To preserve.
I love it.
To preserve and grow the honeybee population.
Listen, as you were telling the story, I'm thinking to myself.
Put me on the list. I want some garden honey.
If this was the Barclays Center or any or Citi Field or any other place.
He's saving the bees.
You would have such a funny rant. I can only imagine how funny would you,
I
want
to be the first person to taste garden honey.
But because it's the garden and your love of their popcorn and their basketball
the best
team,
popcorn in
I knew Craig was going to get on his hands and knees and say, I love you, Queen Bee.
That might be my new favorite honey. Madison Square Garden honey. I'm going to put an order in for it right now.
Unbelievable.
Who's that? Kirsten Fleming had that story? Did she taste the honey?
Kirsten Fleming.
Yeah, did she taste it or not?
She doesn't mention tasting the honey, but she's got the quotes from the MSG general manager here.
Well, let's get him on the air, Tommy. Tell him I need to taste some of that garden honey.
Clinton Neils. We have the Knicks, the Rangers, and now the Honeybees. There you go.
The New York Honeybees. That'd be a great name for the WNBA team.
We have a WNBA team. They're called the Liberty.
We still have
them.
Well, they moved there. They're in Brooklyn now.
Ugh. All right. You guys kept their name?
Yeah.
You should change it to the Honeybees. That's a great name.
They're not at the Garden anymore.
Yo, I'm going to make a t-shirt, the New York Honeybees. Izzo, get on that. Oh, that's right. You have 7 day.
I just want to imagine, everyone can do this at home by yourself. Imagine the alternate universe rant that Craig would give us if this was any other arena or franchise. Imagine if this was Prudential Center or Barclays Center or Citi Field. Like, I'm laughing in my head thinking about the things you'd say.
By the way, big day for your moon expert. He got you the food and he brought that story to my attention. Good job.
Nice. That's a great story. That's a great talk show story. Madison Square Garden Honeybees. That is awesome. That's a team that thinks outside the box, Evan.
Okay.
I love Dolan's press conference on that, by the way.
Wouldn't that be great if Dolan had a press conference
about
on that?
The Honeybees.
We got the Knicks. We got the Rangers. Now we have the Honeybees. I'm very proud. I want to announce that Isaiah Thomas is the general manager of the New York Honeybees. Isaiah will be leading the bees to produce more honey than any other beehive in the tri-state area. You can come see the honeybees. I wonder if there's a fee to go see them or if they're like only for certain seats in the building.
It says visible from the official team store windows on that same level, sixth floor rooftop.
There you go. Wow. All right. That's hot. Well, how many teams will copy them now?
Nobody.
The Nets will go, we've got killer yellow jackets.
We're not copying, trust me.
We got land flies. Yeah, they're killing trees and tomato plants, but come see the Brooklyn lantern flies. Yeah.
The Knicks of honeybees is great.
Hey, tell Izzo to mock up a New York honeybee shirt for me, please. That would be hot for the store.
Is that after he shares the video of you sliding with us? Gotta do that first, right?
4 o'clock, you were supposed to put it out.
Huh. I assume you'd never made a video.
Not on me.
You never sent it to Izzo, so you are not a man of your word.
Anthony sent it to him, my son.
Okay, Anthony, send it to me. He has my number.
Anthony's at a high school football game right now. I'm sure he's not
listening.
Anthony
texts me about every little thing. If there's a video that exists, text me, because if I don't get it by the time we sign off, Craig Carton doesn't know how to slide. You agreed to that yesterday. I'm you a said, fantastic slider.
You said to me, if you don't make a video and I don't see it,
yep,
then you well, can't slide.
I can't so. Answer. Listen, if Tom Izzo works twice a week, that's not my fault.
Listen.
All right? Perhaps he'll get to it on Monday.
Craig, do you have my phone number?
I don't. My son does.
You have my number.
Every night, can I call Evan? Can I text Evan? Can I ask Evan a question? Oh, yeah, feel free, man.
You could have very easily texted me the slide, hence the slide does not exist, and you don't know how to slide.
The guys have to make their picks. You want to do that now? Might as
right
well,
now.
Right?
Last night, C-Mac and I both picked the Giants. We
Pathetic.
Won. We were getting 3.5. Lugie and Salo both laid the points with Washington. They were wrong. I also took the under. I was wrong. So I was 1-1. C-Mac was 1-0. And Lugie and Salo both got it wrong. For week number 2 in the NFL, CeeLo, kick it off.
All right, I'm giving you 3, including the local game.
Did we ask for 3?
I'm giving you 3. Okay. I've got them real quick. I'm taking the Jets.
Oh, all right, my God.
Tight game. They're getting 6 at home. Fired up back in front of the MetLife crowd. Patriots aren't what they were before. I will take a shot with Zach Wilson and company to keep that game close, getting 6. Why are you looking weird at me like I'm...
I'm writing it down.
Okay.
I like to be very organized.
You were going to question the number I gave there. All right, 2 other ones quickly, both 3.5. The Colts getting 3.5 at home against the Rams. Rams off the big week 1 performance at home on the Sunday night. Matthew Stafford. Now they go into Indianapolis. I will take the hook there with the Colts at home. And then I'll lay the 3.5 with the Cardinals at home against the Vikings. Big week 1 for Kyler Murray in that offense. A lot of options. Explosive. Vikings have a bunch of guys out on defense. I'll lay the 3.5 with the Cardinals at home against Minnesota.
Lugie.
You suck.
Take it over.
Okay, I'm giving you 2. I'll take the local game as well. Give me the Patriots laying 6 against the Jets, the hoodie against a rookie quarterback, Pats. And I'm also taking the Panthers, getting 3.5 at home against the Saints. You think I'm nuts, right? The Saints, they destroyed Aaron Rodgers last week. Now you have Sam Darnold. That seems like an overreaction line to me. Give me the Panthers getting the 3.5 and the Pats laying the 6. Big Mac, take it away.
All right, yeah, listen. Patriots aren't going 0-2 in the division. Patriots minus 6. Make that nice and easy. And I'm getting right back on the horse. I had a disastrous loss last week with Green Bay. It was the only game I loved all week, and they got absolutely obliterated.
That was close.
I'm getting right back on the horse. I don't care how many points it is. They are going to kill the Lions. It's what they do. It's what he's done every single year of his career, Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay minus 11.5. I wouldn't have cared if it was 14. And then what the hell? I'll throw in Buffalo minus 3 since we're going 3 with Seal over
we
there.
We can throw in games?
Buffalo minus
you know
3
I'm
for the third,
in the third game.
There you go.
With Cowboys that. Getting the 3.5 out in L.A.
All right. I'm
winners, losers.
I'm 4-3 for the season for some bizarre reason. 4-0 with picks, 0-3 with over-unders. I'm taking the Jets. I'm not normally a confident guy. Craig says I have Robertsitis. I actually feel good. I believe they'll build off the second half performance. I believe this will be a tight, low-scoring game, and I'm going to go all the way with it. Jets are going to win this freaking football game. Give me the Jets plus 6 at home against the Patriots in the home opener. Game number 2. The Andy Dalton revenge game number 2.
La, 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 lock it up.
Last year against the Bengals, he had one of his best performances of the year. He'll do it again. Plus, I think the Bear defense is a lot better than what we saw last week.
I'm not an animal.
Give me Chicago minus 2 at home against the Bengals. And I think the reason I'm 0-3 with over-unders is I keep taking unders. So I'll take the over in the game everyone's looking most forward to, the Chief-Raven game. I expect a lot of points. 55.5 is the number. Give me the over. Those are the picks for week 2 in the NFL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.